Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
This is C?
This is C.
Wait, sorry, moving hard to me.
No, you're at a disadvantage. This is C. This is my proposal.
This is C. Okay, yes. That's what I thought. Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on then to 13.
Okay, motion 13 is, we're now moving into the zoning map amendments, shifting gears out of the code into the map. And this first one goes back to something we touched on earlier. This is the request from PCC Sylvania to change their zoning designation from Campus Institutional 1 to Campus Institutional 2. There is a caveat that the request comes with a 0.75 FAR rather than the normal 3-to-1 that would come with that denser zone, just in acknowledging that this isn't quite as urban as some of the other CI2 zones. You did get a letter from PCC saying that they were okay with that caveat. It may help calm concerns from neighbors about the scale of development.
But they've got a massive campus. So what kind of buildings would we get if they wanted to do a residential with 0.7?
0.75 would, both the current 0.5 that would exist without this change and the 0.75 would allow a substantial increase in what they have now. Their intent, we believe, is to try and move the new buildings sort of in the direction of the street in front and towards the light rail line to the north. There is an E-zone that wraps around the south and west of the campus, which would restrict some of the growth in that direction towards that portion of the neighborhood. But both zones would allow considerable growth above what's currently allowed by their master plan. The main distinction is that the CI2 zone has a broader allowance for commercial uses in the campus beyond the ones that are strictly part of the college. And the as your earlier amendment did, it also now allows a broader allowance for housing. And the building orientation and other standards are more like the mixed-use zones, more like the CM2 zone.
So again, I'm getting back to how do we get sidewalks within the campus?
Both designations, the campus zoning has similar requirements for pedestrian orientation and internal pedestrian connections as the mixed-use zones do. So as part of that review of new buildings, we would be looking for that.
Well, they have the internal pedestrian circulation with sidewalks, but they don't have any connection between the buildings in the middle to the street outside. So how would that be affected by actually giving them the CI2 versus having that as being the comprehensive plan designation and some kind of process to approve it?
Oh, I see what you're asking. Yeah, I mean, if this was left to a quasi-judicial request, both of these zones are allowed with the campus designation on the comp plan map that you've given them. So that would be an option to ask them to do this quasi-judicially. That would create a process that is separate from this.
Well, again, I think I share some of the basis for your concern, but again, I want to maybe take a slightly different approach. This is a huge area. I mean,
yes.
I see, I have the same reaction. Oh my God, that's a huge area. So we're moving from, you know, this whole, in the past, what we did with campuses is we zoned them R5, right? And then we had a conditional use master plan, right? So we've come a long way, baby, from that to this idea that we're actually deliberately zoning campuses with their own zone. But then the devil's in the details. Do we get a mixture of housing or just student housing? I kind of like adding some other housing in. We've done that. That is a little bit of an experiment. Does it actually fit into the neighborhood? And do we have the kind of transportation leverage that we need to get the infrastructure that should be there if it's more than just a campus? And those details are going to matter in terms of whether this innovation of this special zone is actually going to work out in practice, or whether we're going to wince later and go, oh, we didn't get that right.
The pedestrian improvements, I think, I attended the charrette that the College alluded to in their testimony a few weeks back, where they did a pretty comprehensive discussion of what the future of Sylvania should look like. And I would say that probably a dominant part of that discussion was an acknowledgement from many of the participants that the pedestrian environment is terrible on the campus, and particularly for people with disabilities. And so that, I believe, is an emerging theme within their internal master plan discussion. A second angle on it is that as we consider the Southwest Light Rail line, one of the associated projects that is connecting that those stationaries to the neighborhood is a pedestrian improvement and bike improvement on Southwest 53rd that would connect the campus better to the potential light rail station. And so that's also part of that project, essentially.
But the Barber Transit Center right now is a mile from the campus.
Correct.
So, and you could walk, there is a sidewalk, which I think you got done in your previous
right.
work.
Right.
It's one of the only sidewalks. And I live in the West Portland Park neighborhood, which is to the east. Yeah. And then to the south is the far southwest neighborhood. So part of my question is, how does the master plan work? I mean, yes, the charrette is very nice, but if you have a quasi-judicial process, you actually get to say you need to have this connection to here and here, and it needs to look
you
like
You will
this.
Still have a quasi-judicial process in this case with either zone, because we did reserve the transportation impact review as still a requirement for both of these zones. So although the floor area is allowed, it still comes with a land use review to look at transportation impacts, which would give you an opportunity to discuss and that element. It is a...
Well, you get to discuss it, but can you actually affect the choices? Because unlike the University of Portland, that has made a point of attending every single Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association meeting, that I don't think there has been that ongoing collaboration between PCC Sylvania and either Far Southwest or West Portland Park. So I guess I'm concerned about just giving them a whole lot more intensity without the ability of the neighbors to point out what might work for them, and especially because we know now that we're not going to get light rail going actually to the campus. It's going to be a mile away probably either way. I think that there needs to be more discussion about how does this work.
So the staff recommended in favor of this. Tell us why we should be reassured.
Well, I think our conclusion was that the Southwest project offers a big opportunity to affect this, and this has been a focus of that discussion as well, is not only the sidewalk connection, but how do we improve bus service or shuttle service to the college. And again, the fact that we're still requiring a transportation impact review with substantial expansion, they're going to essentially have to do a transportation master plan still. It's not the same master plan that is the conditional use master plan. But the approval criteria in that review have been strengthened, and I believe you heard some nervousness in testimony from the colleges about that we've upped the game in terms of transportation demand management, and we've reoriented the criteria to emphasize multimodal connections. So that review is really going to look at pedestrian and bike and transit access to the campus, and what are we going to do about that? The other driver in this case is their land base is basically their parking lot. So if they want to build new buildings, they're going to have to figure out a way to either build structured parking or shift their mode split to other modes to make that land available, because their students are currently driving at a fairly high rate.
Actually, they're also not. They're parking at the Barber Transit Center and taking the bus or walk. So, yeah, it's really different on days that the campus is not open. So are you telling me with the transportation review that would happen in a quasi-judicial setting?
Yes.
The neighbors would have input and there'd be a hearings officer deciding whether it's good enough or not?
It's, I have to refer to staff. Come on up, John.
One of the amendments that'll come before the commission later today is a direction, if you will, from the commission for staff to work with neighborhood associations, the public, and the institutions on transportation demand management and what that means. But currently in our discussions, and currently as it stands in the code, the transportation impact review is a type 2 application that's appealable by the neighborhood associations if they were aggrieved to the hearings officer.
And have we had any input from either of the neighborhood associations on this particular amendment?
We, I believe, had a few letters in opposition from neighbors earlier in the process. We have had testimony from a few neighborhoods preferring to keep the existing conditional use process and expressing some nervousness about the new system.
Or should we test this motion?
Yeah, I think we should. Let's give it a try.
I'll move the motion.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay, further discussion? Let's take a vote and see where we are.
Fritz.
Thank you for the information. No.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. I think we're going to have to make sure that transportation master plan process works, but I think that there are folks in this room that will endeavor to do that.
So moving on to number 14, this is map amendment number 3 from the amendments, the November 4th amendments memo. This changes one property on Hayden Island, which is actually, I think it's missing a number in the address there, but it's on the map in front of you.
I had it down as 1225, not 1212.
Yeah, and it changes it from CM1 to CE. This was a request from Joe Angel.
And this was basically an island of CE surrounded by CM1. Yeah, right.
Okay. Isn't CE the more intense zone?
CE is more intense and allows a broader range of auto-accommodating uses, which I believe is the current use of the site. CM1 is more of a neighborhood-oriented commercial zone. I believe this picture shows after the amendment. So this broader area is an island of CM1 in the CE zoning on Jansen Beach. So we'd be creating an island within the island of CE there.
Right. So our current plan is to have it CM1 like
correct.
The rest of that area.
Yeah, and currently I believe Marty can correct me, but I believe it's CN. Currently?
It's CN
it's
now.
It's CN2, correct.
Well, but then there's all that, across the freeway is the whole, the whole area that was, how did we end up zoning that?
All that is still CE, although it has a plan district, which
right.
has a
plan
street
district.
Requirement that
right.
is a little different, and it has some housing, requirements with bonuses.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to accede to this in that, frankly, I think prospect of change on Hayden Island is distant, but where it will happen is in the giant strip mall complex on the west side of I-5 when we get light rail there. That's when it will change. The rest of Hayden Island is not going to change anytime soon.
So what was the reasoning for having the CM surrounded by
CM? Yeah, I'm not sure why the CM.
We took this area in general to CM1 because we believed it was the closest analog to the CN zoning that the neighborhood plan established at that time. I think the intent was the area west of the freeway be more the more urban area, and that this area east was a more neighborhood-oriented node.
But that really would be a spot zone then to just have one property in the middle.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But that's what the property owner requested. I would be willing to go CE over more of this because, again, I think realistically the gas station, the fast food restaurants, the motel, they're not the car wash, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But
you could amend your motion to change the whole pink area on the map to CE if that would be a twist on what's currently before you.
Well, we haven't had any testimony on that, right?
No, you just heard from the one property owner.
And we didn't hear from the Hayden Island at High Noon? No.
Okay, so does anybody want to make the motion?
I just want to first note that I think I introduced this amendment after hearing about it from Joe Angel.
Right.
And initially, staff said that they were fine with it, but now I see the staff member who opposes it. Eric, could you elaborate on that? Like, was there sort of what kind of discussion was there about this?
I think we were just concluding that the CM1 zone is a better representation of the adopted neighborhood plan. But I think that's it could go either way. But that was our after some discussion internally with staff. That's where we landed.
Mr. Angel's here. I'll talk about you in the third person since you're in the room, but so we only got testimony from one person about this whole area, like one property?
You got a lot of testimony about the trails nearby, but not on the zoning.
That's bizarre. I mean,
well, except that I thought we had the comprehensive plan map process before, and now this is another coming back at it.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, seeing this map, frankly, this would be kind of an absurd result, even though I thought it was a reasonable request. So I'm not sure if I can support this amendment.
So, Steve, do you want us to move forward with this, or do you want to have this set over?
I think I'd be fine with moving forward with it. I move the amendment.
All right, is there a second?
A second.
Okay, let's take a vote, then, on the amendment as stated.
Well, obviously, this has been a good discussion, and we do need to encourage things to change on the other. But I do think we should stay true to the process and not go back on it just because somebody asked, even though we like him a lot. No.
Fish?
No.
Salzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
No, I can't justify this, not when I see the map. No. Okay. Let's go to 15.
15 is a similar request from CM1 to CE. This is at 6454 North Greeley. And I believe the testimony here also from the property owner was concerned about the existing use of the property as it relates to the allowances of the CE versus CM1 zone.
So I'm trying to track this here. So
in this case, there is some other CE and CM1 at this corner.
It's just the red circled parcel?
Yes. And I believe in this case the concern, the argument against was coming kind of from a neighborhood perspective that there had been some neighborhood discussion and the preference was to move this intersection to a more less auto-oriented format, and so the CM1 was preferred, although we do acknowledge the CE is probably closer to the use allowances of what's there now on that property.
So the amendment, as the effect of the amendment would be to create the pattern that you've just mapped.
Correct.
With opposite diagonal CE and CM1 on the four corners.
Right.
And just to clarify the uses at this intersection, on the northwest corner, there is a gas station. On the northeast corner, that is a convenience store. And then the subject property in question has some sort of, I believe, auto-oriented nature to it. And then on the southwest corner, it's a medical office.
I've actually done lots of sign waving on this corner. It's really good evening rush hour. And I think it would be good to have it more as a node of neighborhood commercial services, just leaving the gas station.
I move the motion.
All right. The motion's moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Fritz.
No.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
No. Passes. Okay, 16.
Number 16 concerns map amendment 9, and it's been modified slightly based on testimony that happened on the 17th, where this is Northeast Fremont, which the original amendment changed the area between 46th to 48th from CM1 to 2. The further modification is to extend that to 50th, so the whole stretch between 46th and 50th would be changed to CM2 from CM1.
On the north side of the street.
On the north side of the street. The original logic for the
Staniches in?
This is the Staniches. Yeah. The Staniches is the modification. The other property owner was accommodated by the initial request. The logic of drawing it at 48th in our initial amendment was that's where the CS zone currently shifts to CN. And so we were trying to reflect that existing pattern, but you did get compelling testimony from Stanich, so that's the change.
I'd move the amendment.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
first Jimmy Max, now Stanich's. I mean, we're losing our heritage, cultural heritage. Aye.
Osman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hale?
Well, they didn't say they were going to close. Yeah. Aye.
Number 17 is Map Amendment 11 from the November 4th memo. It concerns properties on the west side of Chavez between Division and Sherman, and this is a change from R1 to CM2 with a D overlay added. The comp plan is mixed use here, so this is something that can be done as a zoning change. You got testimony in favor from some elements within the Richmond neighborhood and in opposition from some neighbors and other folks.
Actually, that's incorrect. There's no opposition on this particular amendment, so but strong support from five members of the Richmond board.
Oh, right. It was the,
I want to note for the record that Eric has been talking nonstop now for an hour. I think that was the first mistake. So we could note that.
Maybe in 6 months.
Pretty amazing. What's the net effect of what you could now do with this change? I know this corner pretty well.
Let Marty answer.
In this case, there are five properties. The Planning Sustainability Commission recommendation is for this to go to R1. And so if you have a 5,000 square foot lot, you're looking at roughly about 5 to 7 units per property. With it going to CM2, you know, for a 5,000 square foot lot, we are seeing roughly about a 19 unit product. So it's really a gain in potential housing with this change. And it is at a very prominent intersection at Chavez and Division. We have two major bus lines that intersect at that intersection.
You have a lot of development happening there. This is Chavez. So, I mean, it is, we're going to pick a
street. And I actually walked down Chavez last night at about 8 o'clock and was really struck by the lack of pedestrian improvements along that stretch of thoroughfare there.
Mayor, I move the motion.
Second?
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Aye.
Fish? Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Yeah. I think this, like some of these others, number 18, the Mount Tabor sites that we've talked about, these are opportunities to try to, you know, shape a little neighborhood center where there isn't one now. So it makes sense. Aye. Okay. Let's move on then to 18.
The 18 is a combination of amendments 12 and 13 from the November 4th memo. They both concern a node of zoning at 50th and Hawthorne. Number 12 is to change that one property on that node that is kind of at the end of Hawthorne to CM2, and 13 changes the whole node, including the CM1, to add a D overlay. And I realize that there may be some preference among at least one or two of you to split this into two votes, but I put it together to see where we were.
I'm comfortable with them being together.
Yeah. No, I'm actually not. No, I think the D overlays, but we had the discussion in the comp plan process of this being kind of a step down to the residential neighborhood. Right. So there isn't really a step down if you make this CM2.
Oh, I see. Do you think it's too intense with the D overlay?
There would be some remaining CM1 to the east and north. So I believe the property in question doesn't actually touch the residential property. It's got CM1 to the...
Yeah, it's a question of, is this a big finale to the going along Hawthorne, or whether it starts indicating that we're transitioning to the neighborhood.
One clarification that's important to make here is that because of the comprehensive plan map amendment that was made at 50th on Hawthorne, it does transition to mixed-use neighborhood. And so what that means is even with the addition of the D overlay, and if this property goes to CM2, because of the mixed-use neighborhood opportunity, there is no ability to bonus height on that site if it goes to CM2. So that is a nuance that's important to...
Why is that again? Why is there no...
Because you have to have the mixed-use urban center designation and the D overlay to get to the height bonus.
They don't have the urban center.
They don't have the urban center comp plan map
designation. So wouldn't the step-down requirement, if there's R5 to the east, wouldn't the step-down requirement apply?
It would... Not to this site because it doesn't touch the R5 directly.
Oh, because there's still CM1 between it and
the
Yeah.
That's not clear on the map here, but I take your word for
it. The property that is requested to go to 2 is the square that the arrow is pointing
to. Yeah. Okay.
The pink would remain as CM1.
Oh, all right.
To the east.
And then everything to the west is CM2, right?
Correct. That's it's correct. Just you're talking about where you want to draw that step down, as the commissioner indicated earlier.
Well,
is this where the Animals Club is?
I don't know about that, but I know that the Sapphire Hotel is in this building.
Not what I'm thinking of.
So it's a residential building now.
Yeah, it's a residential building.
No, the building in question is actually, it's a classic. It's the picture on the upper right. Yeah. It's a classic, traditional storefront building that has, again, the Sapphire Hotel is the business that I am familiar with.
And what would be the zoning to have that stay?
So currently the zoning is storefront commercial. So a straight translation of the storefront commercial would be the CM2. And that is what the property owners are requesting, is that they have a straight translation or of the CS to the CM2.
Okay, then I'm comfortable with it. Thank you.
So there's Commissioner Fritz moves, and anyone?
Had a question. Is this a very small design overlay? I mean, do we do that? Is it kind of like spot zoning?
So all of Hawthorne has a design overlay, with the exception of this area that went to mixed-use neighborhood. Within the package of amendments, we have 2 deviations to that. We have the one here at Hawthorne, and then we have the entire neighborhood of Selwood Moreland that would receive the D. That is a deviation from kind of the parameters that staff were working with.
So there is a D overlay on the rest of Hawthorne?
Yes.
Already.
Yeah, it just paints it a little further east this way. Okay. So is there a second? I'll second it. So let's take a vote, unless there's further questions or discussion, see where we stand on this one. Okay, let's take a vote, please. And
can you tell me who moved and seconded?
Commissioner Fritz moved and I seconded.
Thank you. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Balsman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Ailes?
Aye. Okay. All right, then let's move on to 60th and Belmont, 19.
So, this is Amendment 14 from the November 4th memo at 60th and Belmont. This is a...
Not sure what great group of students we just had visitors, but thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Hope it wasn't too tedious.
Where are you from?
Ah, nice. Future planners? Yes.
Future commissioners.
Go Vikings!
This is a change from CM1 to CM2 as well.
Okay.
Ben, I introduced this amendment to follow up the comp plan amendment we adopted in the spring, changing the parcel from the first mixed-use neighborhood.
Yep.
And there
was
a question raised about its impact on the transportation system, and TDOT said that the few additional units that would be allowed aren't going to have a significant impact.
Right. Understood. Okay, so Commissioner Novick moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Let's take a vote, please.
Fritz.
Aye.
Shish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Ailes.
This makes good sense. Aye. Okay. 20.
This is a return up to Sylvan, and this was the other property that had been debated in that context. This particular one is from R20 to R5, which was the compromise that you ended up with when you had the comp plan map discussion.
Right.
Okay. I move the motion.
Second. Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Well, I'm just still not believing that it's... I think it would be better with a quasi-judicial process. So to be consistent, no.
Fish?
Aye.
Balsman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Ailes?
Aye. Okay. 21.
21 is Amendment 19, from the November 4th, and this was at roughly 50th and Woodstock, several properties, as noted in the memo. With a further modification, you received testimony about both the joinery and autos. The properties are between Woodstock and Southeast Martins, between 48th and 49th, and then on the west side of 42nd. So the modification is to expand the change to add properties to the CM2 zone on those based on testimony.
I'll move the amendment.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Ritz?
Aye.
Dish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Hopefully, in this case, also, we're preserving long-distance future redevelopment, because if Northeast would mourn the loss of Stanish's, my neighborhood would deeply mourn the loss of Otto's, and I hope that doesn't happen anytime soon. Aye. Okay, 22.
22 is not something that was in any of the memos, but it's something that came up in testimony on the 17th. This was from a property owner at 3844 Northeast 82nd, requesting a change from R1 to CE, and it is abutting other mixed use.
And specifically to the north, that's the old Shriners Hospital site or the Columbia Knoll development. They're along Sandy and 82nd, and to the south, it is the Red Roof Inn, which interestingly enough, you can see is not only south of this property in question, but it is also to the east, so it kind of wraps around L-shaped.
So staff heard that testimony and felt like, yeah, this was probably a good site for
commercial. There's a single-family house on the site now. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an anomaly at this point.
It does have a comp plan designation of mixed use, so we can do this.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Ritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Kaufman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. So we're ahead of schedule.
You want to try and take a few from the afternoons?
I'd recommend we go.
What time do you have to leave, Mayor?
We ought to leave at quarter of, probably. So
you have about 10 minutes.
Another 10 minutes if we want to. That makes sense.
Not?
Get more done? Okay, let's move on then.
So number 23, this is, we're moving into a directive now, so this would be, in this case, a separate ordinance, and I'd invite Denver Igarta from PBOT to describe this.
Hi, again, I'm Denver Igarta, Senior Transportation Planner with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. So this amendment is not part of the transportation system plan recommended draft. However, it does relate to several sections in the transportation system plan. So specifically, we're working on an ordinance that would advance comp plan policies to improve connectivity in centers, specifically in eastern neighborhoods, pattern area. With this direction, we looked at existing city code, specifically through street requirements to city standards with both our Portland Bureau of Transportation Development Services Group and City Attorney's Office. And looking at the code, we determined we have sufficient code authority to make requirements for new connections that meet the spacing standards of the city. The ordinance that we are preparing would adopt a strategy providing further guidance on applying those existing city code by focusing where the connections are needed most. Essentially, it'd be council giving direction to PBOT to enforce the requirements per city code and per the code requirement, specifically in centers where we intend most of the growth to be focused and the change to occur, in eastern neighborhoods where we have a comp plan policy asking for us to create connections to improve access to local destinations. And then along with our spacing standards, the sites that are furthest from parallel streets and larger sites. The improvements required as part of this code would not change for what's already in place.
So this, if you, the effect of this amendment, if you agree to it, would be that PBOT will file a separate ordinance that would be heard on the same day as the comp plan adoption that would essentially adopt this strategy for directing them how to move forward to achieve stronger street connectivity in these areas.
I appreciate this. I just want to speak in favor of this. Obviously, this is something, a long conversation I've had with PBOT and with Planning Bureau that systematically trying to create connectivity in these areas where it's been lacking because of a very suburban pattern in the past is really important. It's real wonky and down in the weeds, but over time, done right, which I think the Bureau will do, the bureaus will do, you start to get more of a neighborhood connected feel to an area that was it was developed without any regard for people walking around at all in some cases. So this is good work, and I appreciate it. So I'd move this item. Is there further discussion? Let's take a vote, please.
Who seconded?
I did.
Dan did.
Thank you. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Bossman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you very much.
So, Mayor, on the next few things, I would appreciate it if we could wait till after I've had another cup of tea after lunch.
Okay.
But there is one that we could possibly take care of now, which is 29. I think we might have consensus on that one.
All right. And the others you want to be refueled for. That's only fair.
Thank you.
Okay. So number 29 is...
is that motion 29?
Okay. Motion 29, the 7th, 9th
yes.
issue. Okay. So yep. Are you ready to move that?
Yes, I move because it's just making it clear that there is going to be a public process to decide which is 7th or 9th. Okay. It's going to be the developed major bikeway. In the meantime, putting them both on the map.
Okay.
Second.
Is there further discussion about this? Let's take a vote, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Bossman?
Aye.
Novick?
I will support this, so I think that 7th is a better option. Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Commissioner Novick, are you going to rejoin us after the break?
I am indeed.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like we should go ahead and take a break now. And we're going to return at, is it noon? Is that when we're coming back?
Yeah, I believe so.
Sorry. Looking at my own notes here. We're coming back noon. At noon. Okay. So we're going to recess until 12 noon. Thank you.
Went very well. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good work.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
So we're going to cancel the march.
Let's talk about it in the car. We're going to go to the
Yeah, yeah. So meet you in 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, you can arrive. What's that? Great.